handsome boy. My first love story. My angel. And my girls. My sunshine.
Everyone, it's Noelle.
Hey, it's Dame Dr. Foxy Brown.
And good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. We're back. This is our third episode.
Yes.
And we're going to go through the articles first. First one, 4 minutes new album teasers. The photos are out. And as of recording, there are 3 teasers out. Hyuna's, Jihyun's, and the leader. The leader's teaser. What's the leader's name?
Jihyun.
Jihyun, I'm sorry about that.
And all of them, like, I don't know if they did this on purpose or it just happened that way, but they all share at least one character in their name with another member of the group. So, it's kind of cool in an odd sort of way, I guess.
Maybe it is on purpose? You never know. But yeah, what can you say? The pictures were really sexy. It's a bit surprising. It shows maturity, I guess, because, you know, you're showing your underwear, you're showing your cleavage, and you're trying to dress up in front of all the people.
Now you're making me feel like I didn't watch this video. But, I mean, look at these pictures. But the showing the cleavage thing is nothing new for them, because in Hit Your Heart, I think, a big deal was made of Jihyun's cleavage being shown while she was sitting on the throne.
Oh, yes, the leader.
But then Gina debuted and everyone forgot about her tits. So I guess they're trying to bring them back to the forefront, as it were.
No one can beat Gina. Trust me on that.
But they're trying to keep her relevant because, you know, Cube also produces Gina. And I guess they figured, you know, we have a winning thing going here. Why not? But they're actually going with the opposite strategy, because with Gina, they cover her up.
Yes.
But with Jihyun, for some reason, they seem to want to get as close to burying it all as is legal.
No, but apparently Gina was a bit uncomfortable about her body, so I guess that's probably why they're covering it up. No.
She's probably, like, resented having huge tits her whole life.
Do you think it's easy to have huge tits? I don't think so. Especially if you're dancing.
I don't think so. Well, she doesn't dance much anymore. But I mean, like, you probably have back problems. You will have back problems eventually.
Hmm. That would suck.
And if you live somewhere where they may be more attracted to more girlish figures, and by girlish, I mean like prepubescent, then having large tits is not an asset.
And that's where she lives right now. So there.
I was not going to make fun of Korea, but okay. So what's next in the news before we dig our own graves?
Big Bang. Of course, Big Bang. You know, they happen to make it to our episodes every week. This time, they're going to release album 4.5, 4.5, because it's a repackage. It's going to be released in April, which is a week from now. Do you believe April?
I say May.
Uh-huh.
May is good. I like May.
Yeah. Because I know they're going to release 21's album in April, according to YG, but you know how he is, right?
Well, maybe he'll go for 21 for April and Big Bang for May. Does it make sense to have them both promoting at the same time?
Mm-hmm. So expect a few delays there. We don't know which album is going to be delayed, but someone is going to be delayed. Someone's album, I mean, is going to be delayed. So, but this time it's just a repackage. There's 4 new songs. And this is what I'm scared of. If they're going to release a repackage, are they still going to release that other album in July? No.
Well, they release for packages in Korea now with almost every album release. Even though this wasn't a full album, but typically the best practice is to actually hold off on buying the physical copy right away, because inevitably within a month or so they're going to release a repackage album.
That's right, because I haven't even bought the physical copy of Big Bang's album, just waiting for it. So I guess that's smart. So there, 4.5. Next. Actually, what next? What can you say about that? You don't really believe YG? You don't have anything to say about that?
I mean, if it happens, it happens. If not, you know, no skin off my back, because I wasn't planning on buying it anyway.
But yeah, I'm not going to fall for YG's old tricks. I'm not going to wait anymore. You never know. I'm just going to let him surprise me. Okay, he might surprise me in a good way. You never know. All right, next up in the news. For me, well, this is news for me. I don't know if it's news for you, but Kim Jae-jung is in Thailand. You know, he went to Thailand by himself because he's supposed to be the musical director of the of their concert. So he went there ahead of time to oversee things. While Yoo Chun is shooting his new drama with Lee Da-hae, and it's called Miss Ripley, which is patterned after a true story. Do you know about that?
I've only seen, you know how I am when it comes to K-dramas, right? Mm-hmm. So when they pop up in the news, I might read the articles, but I inevitably gloss over the drama part of the article since I don't intend to watch it. So no.
Well, this is the story, I think, is about someone who pretends to have graduated with honors and with a doctorate from an American university, but she faked her credentials.
Oh, so it's about Tableau then.
It's not. Well, did Tableau fake it? No.
No, he didn't fake it, but it's what people thought. Crazy people.
But this time, apparently, it's true. The person behind the story, she was a professor in one of the universities in Korea. So it's a big scandal. It was a big scandal back then. And I'm just wondering about the title. Is this like Matt Damon's movie, The Talented Mr. Ripley? Like, you know, he pretends to be someone he's not?
It's probably what it's patterned after. But my thing is, so it's based on a true story. How are they going to shoehorn in her... her sexy younger lover and the older guy that she's inevitably attracted to? How are they going to fit those two in?
I don't know. You have to wait and see.
It has to be a love triangle.
Yes.
Or it's not a gay drama.
It is a love triangle, apparently. The old lover, the one who influences her to do bad things, and then there's Yoo Chun, the half Japanese rich guy. I don't know. We'll see how it goes for love triangles.
You mean you'll see?
Of course, I'll see. I know you're not gonna watch it, but I am. What else? Oh, Kim Hyun-jung, leader, SS501, is going to release a solo album sometime between May and June this year. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. Looking forward to that? Yes, no, maybe?
Don't ask me silly questions.
But yeah, I don't really have much to say about that right now, but we'll find out when he releases his album.
I thought you liked him.
Not anymore. I used to. Ever since Boys Over Flowers came out, I lost all my love for him, but he's still good looking. Yes, but he's not on my list anymore, and that's really sad.
It's because you don't like to share, I know.
You know that very well. But just to let you guys know, I keep a list. And Foxy Brown knows a lot about my list. And one of these days, we're probably going to go over that list and see if you agree or disagree with me. But that's my list. Anyway, this is about Super Junior. Siwon and Lee Dong-hae, they will finally start filming their Taiwanese drama, Glamorous Challenge, on the 31st. It's been 2 years since they announced that, and it took them 2 years to shoot. Isn't that surprising?
It took them 2 years to shoot, or it took them 2 years to start shooting?
There you go. It took them 2 years to start shooting because they will shoot on the 31st, which is a few days from now.
It's probably because in between them announcing and today, the hand count thing happened. So, because it took Super Junior M some time to go back into promoting in mainland China after hand count left. So, it was probably an issue of... I guess his leaving the group reflecting negatively on them and their popularity, so SM probably wanted to put it on the back burner for a while. But my question was going to be, are they going to be dubbed or would they be speaking Mandarin in the show?
As far as I know, Siwon can speak Mandarin, but I don't think he's that fluent. But I'm guessing they'd be dubbed, because they've done that a couple of times.
Yeah, there have been a couple Korean actors that have been in Taiwanese or Chinese dramas, and they've pretty much been dubbed.
Yes.
Which always, it always seemed weird to me when you have an actor, yeah, if they're doing a cameo, dubbing them, it's fine. If they're going to be in the entire run of the show, like having them do their lines in Korean and have the other actors speaking Mandarin and then dubbing them over, it seems like it would mess with the chemistry of the show, because you can't really speak with each other unless it's through an interpreter. So.
Mm-hmm. And also, what about the mouth movements? It won't match, right? It's like watching those old Chinese movies that's dubbed in English, like those old Jackie Chan movies.
I mean, they're used to doing it, because this is a practice they've been doing for a while, so they're able to. I think they write the dialogue in Korean and Mandarin so that they're able to better fit the Mandarin lines over the Korean mouth movements. And I think it's a process that's easier with animated film, but they've been doing a lot of work with dubbing because of the way audiences are in the West, especially. So,
but I'm looking forward to this because first, this is Siwon, and just to let you guys know, he's on my list. And this is an adaptation of a Japanese manga. It's Skip Beat. I like Skip Beat. Have you read that? I haven't finished reading it.
I don't read shoujo manga.
So I'm looking forward to this. I hope it's good.
See, what you have to understand is that I am secretly a very emotional person. So because I started distancing myself with that when I started high school, I intentionally avoid things that would take me down that path. So I don't bother with shoujo manga at all. I try to avoid romantic dramas as well. Because, you know, if you know what's going to take you into the darkness, you kind of skip past that.
Well, I stay away from shonen mangas. I only like shoujo manga, so there you go. Opposites.
I like shonen manga because, I mean, shoujo mangas are also predictable, but shonen mangas are predictable in the good way for me. But that's a different story. It's nothing to do with this.
But yeah, just looking forward to this. And there's no official release date as of yet. So you never know when it's going to be shown. Maybe next year, maybe at the end of the year. So this is open. We'll come back to this when they start showing the drama. All right. And okay, next up, this is making me laugh. Not because of the new members or anything, but because of the title of the album. New Kiss. Yes, brand. They forgot the D? Is that a typo?
They didn't forget it. Actually, I think Kevin tweeted that they did it on purpose. That's how it's supposed to be spelled. I don't know. He didn't explain in the tweet I saw. He may have explained later while I was at work. But I think it's kind of a sit-and-wait thing, because inevitably when they do the rounds for interviews, they do have two English-speaking members. So people will probably ask them, you know, why'd you misspell brand? So maybe it's something else. Like, maybe they're telling you to get your fiber game up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wheat brand new kiss? I don't know.
I like bran muffins. Those are the only muffins I'll eat.
Ew.
I like raisin bran also.
Sorry, can't eat that. But yeah, I want to know why it's called brand new kiss without the D. Because if that's a typo, that's really bad. But hey, he said it wasn't. So there has to be a real reason.
By Asian pop standards, it's not that bad of a typo. They only missed one letter. Have you seen, like, it cracks me up because every time there's a Dalmatian performance and their name has to be somewhere, it's spelled differently. Like, one time I saw it with two M's, and I was like, I thought the agency was responsible for the stages. You think they would make sure their group's name is spelled?
You know what? They should get a copywriter or someone who proofreads the releases or something like that.
It's probably because they're still rookies. If they get explosively popular, people will probably remember how to spell the name.
Oh well. Learn, people, learn. Learn how to spell. Okay, next up is Shinhwa. Yay for Shinhwa. They celebrate their 13th anniversary this year. And that makes them the longest lasting idol group in K-pop. After all the drama.
Well, I don't think they really had drama with each other, which is really what breaks groups apart, aside from, you know, the company doing some shady shit underneath. But typically, they do seem to all be friends. Obviously, they fight and whatnot, like friends do, but they've managed to persevere for 13 years, even though they haven't released the album in a while because of the army and stuff, but...
Mm-hmm. Did you ever like Shinhwa? Were you a fan of Shinhwa?
I liked the guys in Shinhwa. I think I came into K-pop too late to have that, background of having listened to Heart and having listened to Shinhwa and...
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that was dominating the idol scene at the time. So a lot of the older idols that I do like, I like because I've listened to their solo music. I have listened to Shinhwa's 7th album, 6th. I've gone back and listened to older songs, but of course, mm-hmm. You'll find that 90s songs aren't as good if you don't have the nostalgia for them already. So coming from a place where you hadn't heard the songs before, it's kind of hard to get into. But otherwise, their newer stuff, some of it fits my taste. And of course, I like Minwoo's music. I like Eric's rapping style. And Eric, I think, was the first member I knew anything about because he was in the Any Club and Any Call. I think Any Call was the first one. But he was in the promotions with Theory. So
yeah,
knew him first from there. And then I also knew the other members from being on Love Letter and X-Men, because they used to dominate Love Letter back in the day.
So yeah, 13 years, that makes them legends, like what their name means.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. And my favorite Shinhwa member is Eric, just because I think he's cute.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if it was his face.
Of course it's his face. What else could it be?
You're so predictable.
Thinking of Shinhwa, do you remember or have you seen their photo book where they were
the naked,
like,
one?
Naked? Yeah.
Yes. I was trying to tell someone before about the photo book, but there was like no proof on the internet. It's just this one like low res shot of, I think, all of them together in a circle naked. And like that has to be like the most uncomfortable picture ever. Like if they were all Western, that picture would be really weird, because like balls are probably touching. That's how close they were standing to each other. And it's an interesting photo shoot with, like, I always wish I'd been a part of the K-pop scene at the time, just to see what people's reactions would have been.
Oh god, they probably jizz in their pants. But
no, not the private reactions, their public reactions. See if there would have been any outcry over or anything, because they're polluting the minds of the youth and all that by being naked.
I don't know, I can't remember, because I was part of the K-pop scene then, but I wasn't really into Shinhwa. I was more into the girl groups, like SES, so yeah.
But like, you could see ass crack.
There you go. It didn't matter to me then, like, I didn't pay attention to Shinhwa.
So it didn't matter to you then that 6 relatively handsome dudes were butt naked? That didn't matter?
It didn't, I don't know why. I told you, I'm all about the face. It's crazy. Up until now, actually, I don't really care much about the abs or the butt or the arm muscles. It's the face.
Oh, 5 dudes. Apparently, Andy wasn't there. I think Andy was in the U.S. when they did this.
A lucky guy. He didn't have to show his ass. Oh, now you're linking me a photo. Hold on.
Yeah, everyone in this picture is wearing pants but Eric. I don't know why.
Oh my god, I've seen this before. Jeez, man. If he moved a little bit to his right, I could have seen something. Just a little bit.
You could just ask Minwoo and his short ass to move. I wonder how long it took them to strategically place him so he was blocking Eric.
I would think. I don't want to know. I don't even want to think.
But look at this picture, and you can't tell me the balls aren't touching in that picture.
Let me see that. Ew! Yeah, balls touching, definitely. Ass crack!
But yeah, everybody, all of the male groups in K-pop aspire to be Shinhwa, because, like we said, Shinhwa's been together for 13 years. And it is a nice goal to have, but considering the way the industry works, it's a pretty unrealistic goal. Most groups barely make it 5.
That's the curse of K-pop, right? They say it's the 5-year curse.
It's because at 5 years, typically the contract that they've had since they were a trainee expires. So that's when people get really their first taste of freedom. And some of them decide, hey, I don't want to be a singer anymore. Sometimes the company decides for you that you don't want to be a singer anymore.
But yeah, Dongbang Shinki, 5 years. Big Bang, they're going 5 years, or have they?
5 years this year.
We'll see how it goes.
Super Junior, until December, their thing happened in 5 years too, I think. Their things, I'm sorry. They had more than one issue with numbers.
But the thing with Super Junior is that they're not going to break up that easily because of the number of the members.
Yeah.
So if one member leaves, it's like, okay. Life goes on because there's a lot more.
It's upsetting for the fans. That's not... diminish that. It's probably upsetting for the person as well who's leaving the group.
That's true.
Or the person that's in the group in name only, that they trot out for photo shoots every now and then, but you can see he's only gotten fatter. That guy.
Ow, him. Name starts with the letter K.
Kim Ki-bum.
Mm-hmm.
Right now he's probably the least popular of the Ki-bums, and it's weird because there was a point when he was the only guy I knew named Kim Ki-bum, and there's like 5 other dudes. And even the one from UKISS is more relevant than he is.
Right now, yes.
The one formerly UKISS, I'm sorry.
I mean, he doesn't even show up for photo shoots anymore with other members. I don't think I've seen him recently with other members, so.
I thought Amber was going to be the second him, but apparently Amber's returning for the next, whatever, single album. Whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. Whatever irrelevant thing they're doing that E-Tribe's not going to produce that.
Amber, and she's blonde. I've seen photos, like the latest photo shoot, she turned blonde. We'll see how it goes with Amber.
We will make fun of it, or I will anyway, because I think you like FX. Sorry.
Yep. A teeny bit.
I was gonna say Focus, and then I remembered I like Focus, and I can't be right.
Mm-hmm. I like FX, a teeny bit, because I like Victoria, and yeah. It. The other members, I don't know much about them to actually say if I like them or not, but I like Victoria, really.
Okay, let me tell you. Crystal is Jessica's sister, but Crystal looks
like... much I know.
Crystal looks like she's Yuna's sister.
Yep.
Yeah, I would ask questions there. Luna can sing, and yep. Suli is tall. That's what I know.
That much I know.
She's tall, and she's like Heechul's best friend or most tormented child or something like that. Guy,
she's
like,
a child.
I cannot approve of that situation because it's like a 27-year-old man and a 15-year-old girl. That's not okay, like on any level.
I was gonna ask how old she was because you said she was a child. So yeah, thank you for letting me know. She's 15, Korean or Western?
I have to double check how old she is exactly, but I think she is 15 Western. 16 is the age people like. Too lost over, so I don't know. I guess it's okay.
Ew.
It's more okay than it was before. Like when she was 12, definitely not okay.
Still ew. Okay. Next. Okay, this involves Heechul. This is funny. For me, this is the funniest tweet of the week ever. But you know, maybe he's just tormented. He's a bit upset. Okay, Heechul recently ranted on his Twitter about his car, and of course, he posted in English, and I like what he said. You know what he said? He said, bullshit mirror, fuck this car, I'm not cool, everything hate. Damn, he likes swearing, doesn't he?
Who doesn't? Like, sometimes cursing is just the only way you could get your emotions out properly.
Look, I don't blame him if he cusses the hell out of people. Because you hit his face with a light board. You leave a scar. And you know how he loves his face. And you know how he's a celebrity. And you know how they're supposed to live off their looks, right?
Look, I have a face scar. Eventually, unless it's a really jagged and ugly scar, it won't go away completely, but it will be hard to notice. Or it adds character. Depends. Maybe he looks better with a rugged scar. We don't know yet.
I haven't seen a photo of him recently, so...
It's just like a crappy little mark on his face. It's not even that big of a deal. Of course,
For you, it isn't. For him.
Yeah, I know. He's having, like, a mental breakdown, but...
if I were a celebrity and something like that happened to my face, I'd have a breakdown, I think.
Yeah, but you're a celebrity. You could just get it covered up.
But yeah, it's a bit surprising because he's a guy. I mean, guys, most guys don't really care about that. If it was a female celebrity, maybe I'd understand.
He's Heechul. It's completely different.
So, because it's him. That's the only way to explain how Heechul behaves. Just because it's him.
I think at some point, he's a grown-ass man. We should stop excusing him just because it's him.
But really, just because it's him. There's no other way to explain it.
Yeah, you can look at the scar.
Can you see that?
I think this is the picture is from recently after the accident, so...
Man.
It's gonna heal.
Eventually, I mean, yeah.
Come on. You're the guy with rods in his leg. I think you should be okay with some scars.
Did he ever react like this about the rods in his legs?
I think he was more concerned about whether or not he was going to die. And now he doesn't have to dance as much, which is fine with him, probably.
Mm-hmm. Makes me think, though, if he has rods in his leg, does this have... Well, is he still going to the army? Can he still serve?
I don't think he's going to serve.
I doubt it.
Because his leg got messed up pretty badly, I think.
And yeah.
I think... Kyuhyun was the other person who was badly affected in the... And then he was worse because he was the one that was actually seriously on the verge of death. So... Who the hell do they always have accidents?
Yep, it's him. It's Kyuhyun.
Done reading, it says he took that to have 170 stitches.
Wow.
So this was a different accident, clearly, because it doesn't mention Heechul at all in this one.
That's terrible, though.
Their fans need to calm down. Stop following them. You've already gotten people almost killed.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think they need more than one manager to drive them around. They need three, I think, just to drive them around to their schedules. Because manager equals driver equals personal mate equals personal assistant and whatever. Poor managers must
be overworked. Well, they had a couple managers in the car. But anyway, what's next?
I'm not sure if the meeting... is done, or they're going to have it. Yeah, I can't even remember. But they're going to meet about making the lives of trainees better under the entertainment companies. Why the trainees? And why not the current artists?
I think it's because the trainees, really, when you look at it, the actual artists are worked very hard, but as they become more and more famous, they have a voice. And if a trainee never really becomes a professional singer, then they don't have anyone that they could tell who would do something on their behalf. So a trainee is really, when you look at it, it's like a child as opposed to an adult.
But they're really children when they start.
I know they are, but when you look at...
Really young.
When you look at the roles, it's like that. Because a trainee only can only bow their head to whoever's in charge. They can, if they stand up to them, well, they could kiss their whole future goodbye, basically. But someone that's already established, they can go ahead and say, well, they're not going to stand for this and they're not going to stand for that. Now, of course, people are going to look at them like they're being demanding, but sometimes you have to put your foot down. But I think also the reason why they're starting with trainees is because you have to have a starting place. Like when you negotiate a new contract or whatever, a new contract is for the people coming in from this point on. It's not for the people that already signed under the previous contract. So I think it's probably something like that, where we promise to treat the people that signed contracts with us from this point forward in this way. And basically, people who are already on contract, they're probably shit out of luck until theirs expires and they sign a new one.
This is actually good. Good for the industry. Because at least they're starting somewhere. Because you know how hard an entertainer's life is. Hard an idol's life is.
You got
a lot of restrictions, a lot of tiring schedules. It's really a lot. So it's good that they're starting somewhere.
You gotta kind of hope that it's not just lip service, but this meeting was organized, I think primarily by Taejin Ah, who's the president of the Korean Singers Association, and of course the Ministry of Culture, Sports, and Tourism, I think, was what spearheaded it after certain questions have risen as to the legitimacy of the industry, considering all the things that are said to occur. The ministry themselves have promised to create a support center for entertainers, and they also promised to set up a registration system. So a trainee will be able to, let's say you get propositioned on the street, to come with this person and check out their agency. They give you a card, right? Card looks legit.
Mm-hmm.
But you will probably be able to at some point access online and see if this is a registered entertainment company. Because, yeah, there are the big ones that we know about. There's SM, there's JYP, there's YG, there's DSP, there's CCM, Cube, and then there are smaller ones like J2 and so on and so on. But it's probably really hard to know when you get that card if someone is who they say they are. So they're setting up a situation so that you will be able to research this on your own and know that this person is affirmed by a government agency, and hopefully prevent people from ending up in a situation where they're being exploited.
And that's good. That's really good. It's good for everyone, and good for the trainees, future trainees, and eventually good for the industry. Because in the future, that means less drama, and a lot of people will be treated more fairly. Okay, that's it for the news. Now, we're going to talk about producers, the popular K-pop producers. So, in mind, I have three.
Okay.
There's E-Tribe, Shin Se-dong Tiger, and of course, Brave Brothers. Who do you want to talk about first?
I say we talk about them in that same order.
Okay. E-Tribe. I call him the master of the hook songs. You know, those really annoying songs. Your candy?
The thing I wanted to ask, is E-Tribe one person or two people?
Two. Two people. They. They're two guys. I don't want to butcher their names, so I'm not even going to attempt.
An Myung-won and Kim Young-duk.
Thank you.
Something.
And an example of their song is... Chi 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 baby baby, that song, Girls' Generation.
Yeah, they've done a lot of things. They did OEO for Nasun and Geo. They did Cry for M-Black.
You Go Girl, Lee Yori.
They've done Kim Hyung Jun's recent song OA. They did Disco for Jung-hwa.
Yes.
They did
Tiara. Don't forget Tiara now. The annoying song.
Oh yeah. Okay, they did. I'm looking at the list and I'm blanking and I don't know why. It's You for Super Junior, and they did I Know for 7. So
I love that song. It's You, by the way.
I know. They recently debuted their own group, Dal Shabbat, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a couple of their performances. They were shaky, of course. Not everyone's perfect with debut. But one thing that weirded me is there's this real thin girl who has no shape at all. And they put
what
they in the group. I don't know her name, of course. This I'm not interested in them right now. But the song they have isn't too annoying. But
yep,
it's
Super Duper Diva.
It's more like
I like it.
More like Super Duper, but yeah,
that's how they say it. But it is Super Duper Diva. I kind of like the song and the dance. They call it the mermaid dance or mermaid's tail dance, but it's quite interesting. See, they're like the producers of dirty pop music for me.
Dirty pop?
Yeah, like really, really annoying pop.
Oh, so you mean the pop music that you're ashamed to admit you like? Because that's what they make.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they create, actually. And it's just recently, he had an issue with Lady Gaga's song Born This Way and Girls' Generation's Be Happy. He said that.
He said that people told him the two songs sound familiar, sound a lot alike. And he said that he'd look into it himself. Oh, they said. I don't remember if it was one of them or both of them that said this. But, you know, you could listen to that song, those songs, I'm sorry, if that's your thing. I'm not into either Sonia Shide or Lady Gaga, but I've heard Lady Gaga's song. And I haven't listened to the other song for comparison's sake because I don't want to do that to myself. But Lady Gaga's song's main problem is it sounds like three or four songs from the same person. And I think there's a point when homage becomes too much, and that song is pretty much it.
But you know what it sounds like? It really sounds like Madonna's song, Express Yourself.
It sounds like three Madonna songs. People were pointing it out specifically, but at different parts of the song, it sounds like different Madonna songs. But he, of course, retracted his statement. Like, basically,
of course,
it doesn't sound, they don't sound enough alike to make a big deal out of it. And if you submit the two songs for review to an international body to determine if it's plagiarism, you might end up getting both of you in trouble, because you then have to balance the songs against Madonna's songs. Because basically that's
not a good thing.
That's the problem. Both songs sound like the Madonna song that she said, that I don't know, because I'm not into pop like that.
It's funny because at the beginning he was like, yeah, look into it. And then eventually, after a few days, he says, not pursuing it anymore. And I don't have anything else to say about E-Tribe. I'm just familiar with the songs he wrote. And it's ear candy. Earworm, ear candy. It's the songs that don't really make much sense lyrically, but the melody just sticks in your head.
And that's really all it takes to have a winning pop music formula is you have to make a song that people hear in their sleep.
That's right. That's how it is with G for me.
They wake up and they want to hear the song, or they just hear, not necessarily they don't hear parts of G, but they'll hear, for example, a word that reminds them of the song and they immediately have to go and listen to it. So in that situation, they pretty much created the hit of all hits. And I think they're probably not going to get back to that plateau again for a while. So they should really step back and reevaluate the career to figure out whether they did something right to create that hit, or it was just the perfect situation.
There was an interview recently about him, though. I guess he wants to get out of his image of being a hook singer-writer.
When you say he, you have to like specify, because there's two of them.
I always forget, you know, because E-Tribe, it sounds like just one person. They.
Then we have the reverse problem with another one of the producers we're going to talk about.
All right. So next up is
Shin Sedong
Tiger. Earlier, I was telling you that he sounds like he's Cube's resident producer, which you confirmed for me, he is.
Yes.
He wrote most of Beast's songs and 4-minute songs, like Shock, Special, Bad Girl, Mystery for Beast. And then for 4-minute, there's Hot Issue, Music, and what else? A few other songs from their first mini album, and their other songs too, from their other albums. And he also produced Tiara's Bopi. Hey, I like that song. It's annoying.
He single-handedly made Tiara relevant. Now I don't like him anymore.
Why not?
I just hate that song. Like, I hate that song, and I hate the things the song makes me do.
Okay, now I want to know, what does it make you do?
It's that ridiculous dance.
Oh, the hand thing?
Yeah. It makes me feel so bad when I realize that I'm doing it. I'm like, I am too cool for this shit.
I do that too, don't worry. But the only difference between
that makes me
us
worry.
Is that... No, the only difference here is that you're ashamed to admit it. I'm cool with admitting it.
But like, as I'm looking it up now, Shin Sedong is a neighborhood, I guess, in Seoul. So there you go.
So I suppose he's from there?
Probably.
Before he became a record producer, he was everything else. He was an MC, a DJ, a nightclub worker, and he wanted to be a singer. But I don't know if he can sing. Have you heard him sing?
No, I've never heard him sing, but I've never watched any footage on a reality show of him like preparing one of the bands for their new album, because you'll find a lot of time that the producer is, if they haven't created a demo track for you to sing over, a lot of times, like when they're nudging you towards the right note, they'll sing the part for you. They don't necessarily have to be able to sing to do that, but you'll find they have a pretty good idea of what singing should be like, even if they can't really do it.
So maybe that's why he isn't the singer, because he can't sing. We don't know.
I think
I have yet to judge his talent.
He isn't a singer because of the way he looks, probably.
Aha. I've seen a photo and not entertainer material, I suppose. Not unless he wants to be a comedian.
Yeah, he's kind of chubby.
Now, we move on to the Brave Brothers. We have a lot to say about
that. Which is really who we wanted
Brave
to
Brothers.
About.
Now, the Brave Brothers is just one person, okay? This is the opposite problem of, you know, I was calling E-Tribe he, but there are two people. Brave Brothers is just one person. And what's his name? Kang Dong Chul?
Kang Dong Chul? That sounds like it, yeah.
Now, for those of you who are not in the know, he used to be YG's resident producer up until 2008. Then he broke away from YG and created his own label called Brave Sound Entertainment. And you can pretty much tell the songs he's produced because it has a distinct sound.
It
and
used to say Brave Sound, but...
Yes, that annoying Brave Sound.
It kind of goes
line.
More like Brave Boo Sound, more like a Korean would pronounce it. And I don't want to say that he is the reason I got into Big Bang because that wouldn't be entirely accurate, but he has had a hand in a lot of the YG songs that people have adored.
Yes. And when we say adored, this is old school Big Bang.
He is known for having a more electronic sound to his hip hop songs, but they still seem sort of traditionally loyal to a hip-hop beat. He doesn't go too far into the electro shit territory, I guess. But part of his problem with leaving YG, when I read the article earlier, is he was saying that he wasn't sure that this was the direction he wanted to continue with his life. He wasn't sure if he still wanted to make music. So he decided
he
was going to leave YG and create his own label, partly so he could pursue his own interest in music, and also just to see if he could do it, basically. If he hadn't, I don't know what he would be doing, but he currently under his label, I know for sure, is Mabuse and One Kind, and I wish I could remember, Electro Boys is the name of their group. They released a song on his album, which is the classic, called Phone Call? Telephone? Why am I blank on this? This is not my night.
Telephone call? Where's my
iPhone?
Noel
called me
really
late at night.
I'm sorry, you know, I had to do something that I couldn't get out of.
So I'm blaming her for why I'm historically bad in this episode. Incoming Call, that's the name of the song.
Electro
and it's
Works.
A really skeevy song, but I love it anyway.
I love his album, Classic. And I've mentioned this in the previous episode, that Bittersweet is part of my sleeping music, along with DBSK's ballads and Alex's solo songs.
But just to run through a selection of the songs he's done, I guess the oldest song on the list I have, which is from Naver, is 2005, which is Lexi's Wash My Tears and Put On My Makeup. He did...
And there's one more Lexi song. Song that I like, Above the Sky.
Yeah, I'm looking at it in Korean, so I can't help. He did for Big Bang, and he also did Shake for their mini album, because I have that album, and at one point I was really interested in him. I think it was after he started putting out his own music, and I decided to go through my Big Bang albums and see what all songs I saw his name under. And he did Last Farewell, which of course we all know, because even though it doesn't have the Brave Sound noise at the beginning, I guess because it's a song produced under the YG label, two other songs that he made, Son Dambi's Bad Boy and Battle Step by Step. The three songs, none of them had that in it because it was before he was making a name for himself. But you'll notice if you listen to those songs, the beginning of the song, they sound very similar. And because the three artists are different, I think that's the only reason they don't all sound like the same song. But he got a lot of flack about the fact that his songs sound like they're copying this one standard format that he supposedly has. That probably weighed pretty heavily on him because he was just thinking, hey, I'm just making the kind of music I like. You can't really say that I'm copying myself, but...
Yeah.
He also did Brown Eyed Girls, How, or What Do I Do? And it was the song that came on the mini album before their third album, which of course was responsible for Abracadabra, which propelled them into stardom. But it was like their first step away from the concept they debuted on, which was them being powerful singers. It was more electronic in nature, of course, because it's Brave Brothers, and I guess they went to him because that's what they wanted. He did Minwoo's Don't Trust Men, which is one of my favorite songs. Again, it's a skeevy song, and I don't know why I like why I like these so much.
Earlier, we were talking about that song, and it talks about Minwoo, basically Minwoo's character.
It basically makes me look like a bad person because I like these kind of songs, but he did After School's
Yes. Diva.
And their debut song, which is more important that he did that one. It's basically, he did their whole mini album, I think, the first one. And he did
Son Dambi. Because of you.
He did Son Dambi's mini album as well. So he's basically responsible for producing the first two Pleatus artists. So there you go. And he also did UKISS. He did a lot of songs for UKISS.
He was responsible for UKISS's biggest hits, Man Man Hani and Bingo Bingo.
And back before Cube got their resident producer, he did AJ's mini album. Whole thing, top to bottom.
And AJ is Beast's Kikwang right
now,
right?
Yeah, that's who he is currently. Oh, I guess that's who he always was. For Son Dambi, he also did Saturday Night, which I think is probably the furthest departure from his typical sound. And he did Crazy as well, and I think Crazy sounds, it's also Son Dambi, it sounds more like his old stuff, and I think Crazy is really one on the weight of Eric's rap, but that's just me.
But that's Son Dambi's first hit, right? That's her debut song?
No, it's not a debut song. Her debut song was Bad Boy.
No? That song is her biggest hit that propelled her to stardom. Okay.
And of course he's recently, for his solo album, he's done a song with Jay Park, which has a kind of haunting video. He did a song with Kevin from UKISS. I think Alexander was in it as well, but the song, the video is basically a beating heart, and I think it dies at the end, so people were all weirded out by the video.
What's the title? Does it have anything to do with Cry or something?
Cry is the name of his song with Jay. His song with Kevin is called, or I Wanna Cry is a song with Jay. The name of the song with Kevin. Finally.
That mini album of his that he dropped in 2009 was, I think, a response to the flack that he took. You know, people were saying that he uses his tunes too often, and because he was judged by the songs that he made popular because the songs were trendy. So he came up with his own mini album to showcase the different styles of music that he can create. But for me, it kind of sounds the same. Because it's electronic and it's hip-hop. It's a mixture. But at least it doesn't use the same beat.
It's one thing if you're putting the songs on different artists' albums, it's harder to notice unless they're promoting at the same time that these songs sound similar. But if the songs are all on one album and you could pretty much play them back-to-back, it's a lot harder to defend yourself as a musician and say, look, I can make songs that are completely individual.
So what's the consensus? Can he create different styles of music, or does he really stick to what he does best?
I think he makes an effort to go away from it. I think his songs are best when he doesn't participate in the vocals.
That's probably why he has a couple of guest singers.
Yeah. I think the more people in the song, the better. I do like his songs from his mini album, I think, a little bit more than I do his songs from the classic, just because I guess it was the first I heard, and then the song on his mini album that led the mini album for me was Bittersweet. And Bittersweet was just like, it seemed like every person he could think of, almost, he put in the song.
There's Hyuna, there's Minwoo, there's, who's that other rapper?
He's in Electro Boys. There's Red Rock and Basic.
That's a lot of people in one song. But who's singing in the song? Is that him?
The auto-tune person? Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out like where in the song is Minwoo, but I'm sure he's in there somewhere.
I couldn't figure out where he was in the song either, so don't worry about it. You're not alone. But you know, you can definitely tell where Yuna was in the song because she's the only female there, and she raps.
Her voice is obvious.
Yep. very obvious. There's one song that he produced for a new group that I like, Shady Girl by Sister.
Yeah, I forgot that was him. But like, yeah, when the beat drops, you can tell it's him. Like, I think he has the intro, the electronic part of the song may sound different, but the bass line is, I think, unmistakable with him. Even if you didn't hear him talking and saying Brave Sound and all that, you would know, hey, this is his track. And I think he's done, he did both Shady Girl and I think Push. His song as well. And that song sounds nothing like the other songs he does. So I think he's growing to be able to make a song that's patterned to the artist rather than, you know, the song he might selfishly want to make. Because sometimes the artist that you get as a producer isn't able to perform the song that you want them to do. Sometimes you have to...
Or perform? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
And
go
sometimes
ahead.
You have to make a song based on them. And it is harder when they haven't debuted yet and you don't know what they're capable of. So it's a lot easier if the artist has been around 1-2 years to go in the studio, I guess, and make a song that, hey, unmistakably, this is going to be a Dambi song. But I think because he's made Dambi, because he's made After School, because he's made You Kiss, because he's made Sistar as well, it would be easy for him to make a song for one of them, because he is responsible for what their sound is, for what people think of when they think of them.
Yeah.
But for an artist that's never worked with him before, or say, for some bizarre reason, if he was to make a Sonia Shide song, or they have the established like bubblegum pop sound, I think that would be a tremendous challenge for him, because that's the opposite of the kind of song he wants to do, I think. So, you know, realistically, that probably would never happen, but, you know, if it did, I would be interested in seeing from both ends, from him, if he's able to produce a song that lives up to their legend, and from them, if they're able to pull off the kind of song he would come to them with.
And maybe we'll see that, because he's coming up with his own group soon, called The Brave Girls.
I kind of wish he didn't use the name of him and his label in them, but I guess you do what you gotta do, because the Sistar is from Starship Entertainment, so.
Maybe that's just, I don't know what you call this, but maybe that's just a project name, and then when they debut, they're gonna change the name?
No, I think that's the name. Yeah.
That's it? Okay, wow. Creative. I don't know what their style is. Has he said anything about that?
No, but it seems at least one of them can sing. So there's that.
At least one of them. Well, one of them is a beauty queen.
Well,
I don't know.
Every group has one.
Jeez.
It's kind of like you're unable to debut. And on that point, which kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week, I saw someone defending the idea of people who can't sing. They were basically saying that, you know, every member is talented in different aspects. Some people are good at modeling, acting, whatever. And then the person said, you know, that's why you make a group, so that you can balance one member's talents against another member's faults, basically, so they can make up for each other. But my thing is, sure, that's why you create an entertainment group, but that's not why you create a music group that's there to sing. It's fine if your chief purpose was to be, and I guess in K-pop, your chief purpose really is to be, as an idol, is to be an all-around entertainer. But your primary vehicle for reaching people is your music. So I think that every person in the group, you know, if they're also able to model and act and do all these other things, be a comedian, that's fantastic. But primarily, your job is to sing. So you should be good at that.
That's right. Well, let's just hope they're good at that.
I mean, if they're not,
you never know.
He's very good at auto-tuning, so.
Jeez, you were going to say that, right? I knew it, I knew it.
I hope that he makes good music for them.
Yeah, I hope.
Because I don't think he's ever made a group that, not made a group, because this is the first group he's made, but none of the groups he's produced for previously, his song, or his first song that he did for them, wasn't the hit. So it seems like you have to keep coming to him over and over. So I hope that he's able to create a smash hit kind of group, kind of like Miss A, that just goes so far off their debut song, you know, all the way to number one or best song of the year or whatever. I hope that he's able to do that kind of thing, because that's a lot more recognition for him. It proves that he's able to stand on his own and he doesn't have to be, you know, the key producer for X record label in order to get fame, because while he was working under YG, obviously nobody knew who he was. There was no Brave sound in his songs. There was only his recognizable style. But even that was still stifled under YG, and it didn't bloom into what we know until he left on his own. But because YG is a big company like any other big company, the producers aren't the people who get the most shine. They'd only start to get it after other artists from other companies start coming to them to make their music. And it's a strange kind of industry, although it's reflective of every industry really, that producers start to become singers. And E-Tribe has done this. And of course we're talking about Brave Brothers doing it as well. So we'll probably see more and more of them releasing their own albums, just like we do in the West with the Neptunes and so on and so forth.
And Pharrell. And one thing though, so if he now has his own group, will he still make songs for other artists?
He'll continue to make songs for other artists, but I think he'll just be more involved with every aspect of this group's formation. I guess he already has experience to some extent, because he has made practically entire albums for people. Not the whole thing, of course, but he's contributed the majority of songs to mini albums and stuff like that.
So I am keeping my eyes open for this girl group called the Brave Girls. I hope they're good. I hope the music is good.
So while we got these last minutes, I guess I could switch it to the topic I thought of today for Free Talk. I could not tell you why this popped in my head. I'm sure at the time I thought of it, I had a reason, but now I don't. But it's basically what would an artist have to do wrong, whether it's morally wrong or I guess ethically wrong to some extent, but also legally wrong. What of those three? What do artists have to do for you to, you know, just say, you know what, I'm done. I can't associate myself with this person anymore. And I think I'm talking about Chris Brown. I think that's where it came from, because recently he threw a tantrum, I think, on the set of Good Morning America, and trashed his dressing room or whatever. He was probably, So clearly he has an anger problem that he doesn't know how to resolve. I think they asked him a Rihanna question, and as far as he knew, they weren't going to do that, but they did it anyway.
Look, I read somewhere that the questions were pre-approved by him in the first
place.
They
asked a question that was off what they've submitted to him, because obviously, you know, this is a guy that beat up his girlfriend. He's not going to want to talk about that, because he's come on talking about how he's a new person, and his latest album has taken him in a different direction. He's grown up so much, that sort of thing. But clearly he hasn't.
Nope.
But just to take that same idea and apply it to K-pop, some examples of why you may no longer want to associate with a particular artist. And you know, sometimes if you followed an artist for a while, sometimes they make decisions. It may just be musically, but sometimes they make decisions where you end up parting ways with them. Usually it's amicable split. You don't hold any ill feelings against them. You just don't particularly like their music anymore. Sometimes it goes in the opposite direction and you hate their music, like I feel about the Black Eyed Peas. But one prominent example is Lee Hyori. Not to say that I hate her or anything, because I don't, but her last album, H-Logic, it was basically two-thirds plagiarized, more or less.
That's really sad. But it wasn't Iori's fault. It was the producer's fault. And I think he went to jail for that.
Well, they said he went to jail. He went away, definitely. But he'd come to them saying that he produced songs for, I don't remember the artist, but these international artists. And every song he submitted to them basically turned out to be plagiarized, and most of them were plagiarized by lesser known groups, So who knows how he found these songs, but he just trolled YouTube until he found something with a beat he sort of liked. At the time it happened, Mnet was backing him because, you know, you have to cover your own ass when you're a giant company like that. You know, the people who the songs originally belong to, they're talking about how they sweated blood and tears over creating the songs. And really, their versions of the songs, no offense meant to them, you know, weren't memorable. Not to say that hers were better, yeah. Of course, because I only know her version of the song, really. I bought the album anyway because I liked the songs on it. It's a shame that the songs I liked were originally penned with no compensation intended for the original artist. It's really incredibly simple to shoot off an email or pick up a telephone and be like, look, we like your beat. Is it okay if we buy the Korean rights to the song? They probably would have never gotten the money they deserved from her album sales. So,
is the duet with Daesung also?
Yeah,
was it plagiarized?
That song
as well?
Was also written by him. But what he did was he gave, instead of giving credit to the composer that reworked it for Jason Derulo and the girl whose name I don't remember, he gave credit to the original singer that did the song that it was sampled from, right?
The
album they gave credit to her, but not to the composer that rearranged the song.
It's like he did a cover of Jason Derulo's
song. When you heard
song.
Jason Derulo's song and you look at the translation for Hyori's version of the song, it's basically the same thing except they switched the meaning. One song is about, Jason Derulo's song is about how a loving relationship ended up ending, and Hyori and Daesung's song is about how two people that I guess were friends ended up getting together.
And you know, it's not just a simple matter of plagiarizing 1 minute or not even like a few seconds of the song, but it's the entire freaking song.
The English lyrics and everything are
Like a cover, really. I mean, if you were smart enough to plagiarize, of course, you're not going to plagiarize the entire song. Did he really think he could get away with it?
He did, and he probably didn't care whether he got away with it or not, because this is a big album, this is a big project, so this means every song is going to be worth a lot of money, and I think he did something like between 6 and 8 songs on her album. So it really has, and someone who had to struggle to build herself back up into the limelight after her previous plagiarism scandal practically finished her off with album 2, it really is tragic. But you also think that she has to take some degree of personal responsibility, because she was supposed to be having more oversight over this album than she did her previous ones.
Yeah, but come on, these songs, okay, they came from unknown people. How would she know? Would she listen to all the songs in the world, troll YouTube for hours and hours and hours? How would you start?
Have joked that she should just leak the songs to the netizens and ask them. Leak the beats and ask them to find out if it's plagiarized or not.
I swear to God, these netizens are very smart.
They have a lot of free time. I couldn't think of any more specific examples other than this one. So I'm gonna go ahead and ask you if you could think of anything.
For me, it doesn't really matter, really. Morally, legally, it's really about the music.
That is like,
I gave you a very simple answer, right?
That it's about the music. You lover of faces.
You're kidding me.
It's about the music, okay.
No, seriously. I don't really care if you did something wrong, something bad, morally
repugnant.
Yeah. But if you start making shit music, forget it. Let's call it quits. No more relationship. It's really about the music. I, for one, don't really care much about the character, really.
For me, I guess because music becomes such a big part of your life, to some extent, the character is important. If it's really, it becomes a matter of, is this a person I want to associate with? And it also matters if your songs are about one thing, and in your life, you do the complete opposite. So I'm not particularly a fan of hypocrisy. If you don't write your own lyrics, that's one thing. But if you write your own songs and you're intentionally deceiving people, that would upset me to some degree. If you go to jail, depends on what you went to jail for. If you went to jail for killing a dude, I probably would be less likely to enjoy your songs about murder. I think it would become hard for me to listen to the songs you have about killing people. For example, if you were a rapper who went to jail for murder and your name happened to be C Murder and you happen to not be that good of a rapper, I would probably be like, well, I don't need your music in my life anymore. It depends on A, how much I liked your music, or you. I think I would be more likely to forgive moral slip-ups. I would be more likely to forgive just you saying the wrong thing. Like, you didn't become a musician because you were smart. As long as your beliefs aren't completely ridiculous or completely repugnant, or you don't seem to be a horrible person like some people seem to be. Sometimes it's easy to divorce your perception of who a person is from their music, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes if you genuinely dislike mm-hmm. them as a person, you're not able to appreciate their music. If you dislike them because they remind you of your skeevy friend, it's probably easier to still listen to the music. But if you dislike them because from everything you know of that person, they seem to be a horrible person, or you met them several times. If you meet someone once and they're a douche to you, they could have just been having a bad day. And you could be the 900th fan that screamed their name that day and they just let you have it. And sometimes you meet them 4, 5, 6, 10 times and they're terrible every time. And you know that that's not an isolated incident. This is that person.
I guess that's it. Like, you know, the thing that you said last. Like, you meet them 5 to 10 times and they're a douche. Yeah. That's probably it for me, thinking about it now.
If they're rude people, that would turn me off. Sort of thing. Like, to some extent, if you're a rock star, you're forgiven certain behavioral quirks. You're expected to be a certain way. But when you're outright mean to your fans, that is not okay. I don't like this idea that fans build careers, fans take careers away, but it really is what happens. You got who you are, where you are, became who you are, basically, because people were willing to buy your music. And if you deride them for that, if you take that lightly, you can find it has a pretty negative effect on your career. Some people, they don't give a shit. They're here for the music. They're here because you give amazing live performances, that sort of thing. Sometimes you can make up for it in other aspects. You know, not everyone that becomes a singer is a good person, okay? And they really, you shouldn't expect them to be good people. But you could expect them to be courteous. You could expect them to work really hard. I think that would disappoint me more than anything else. Just someone who takes their job lightly. When you have probably millions of people that wish they could be in your shoes, or that would have been there if not for A, B, C happening to them in their life, you happen to fall into someone's lap at the right time.
Yeah, you got lucky. That's about it. But surprisingly, I haven't really liked anyone that had a major moral issue that could really turn me off. Like your example with the rappers singing about murder. No. So I've never thought about that. And with Chris Brown, I never liked his music in the first place, so it doesn't really matter to me. All I know is that he's a douche. He beats girls up.
Like, for all we know, that's an isolated incident. But at the same time, like, some people will think, well, I don't intend to date Chris Brown, so it doesn't matter to me if he beats up women. And they'll be fine with that. For other people, it's more personal. Maybe they've lived with an abuser. Maybe their mother, their sister has been abused. Mm-hmm. So they may have been the most all-out fangirl for Chris Brown, but the moment that happened, like, their fandom of him instantly died, and they would never pick that up again, because as far as they know from experience, he's never gonna stop being that person.
That's really sad.
So
though.
I guess
that's really
to some
sad.
Extent is a personal thing. It depends on your experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I do hate is fans that say someone seems stuck up, or someone seems rude. If you have no personal experience with this artist and you're going off of what other people have said, don't form your opinion. Don't share your opinion. You don't have one.
That's right. Because you don't know. You just say seems, okay? No experience with that person whatsoever. You're just basing it off on your perception and what other people say about them.
To say this person reminds you of another person in your life, and you don't like that person, therefore you also hate the singer. And it's not even giving the person a chance. You're going off of your initial feeling, but like I said, with personality quirks, it doesn't matter, especially if you're never going to meet them. It doesn't matter what the person is like. And I think the idol culture has lied to us to make us think that these artists' personalities are so important. Someone may just not be a morning person. Someone may be a socially awkward person. That doesn't take away from what they are as a musician. That just means that they shouldn't have a camera in their face.
I agree with that, really. And, you know, it's really unfair for you to judge these idols, these artists, by your feelings without really knowing them. Because they have a manufactured image. And sometimes the image may be totally opposite from what they really are as a person. And in the first place, they are here to entertain us. They're not gods. They're not... They may be role models, but...
But that's a whole different count of words.
There you go. But yep, I'm not going to open that now. It's sad, though, really. Because, for example, Shiny, the guy who's dating that actress...
Shin Se-kyung, I think.
When news broke out that he was dating Shin Se-kyung, I'm pretty sure they lost a lot of fans. Because you know how idols are supposed to keep an image that they should always be available and single for the fangirls? I'm pretty sure they lost a lot of supporters because of that. And it defeats the purpose of the group in the first place, which is to make music.
But, you know, I guess
that's
the
idol
long
culture.
Run, you're better off without that kind of fickle fan. It's just gonna turn their back on you because you found happiness with someone. They're angry at your happiness and they're delighting in your sadness, which is, you know, just
bad.
I really gotta find out.
That's really bad.
That's less angry and that's less depressing. So I'm gonna try to come up with a fun topic, and then that can of worms about idols being role models, we'll probably discuss that at some point in the future.
Oh, can we talk about my boys?
Which boys?
Should be fun.
I think we should save that for episode 10, somewhere far off in the future. Or maybe we could do a list off or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we can. But yeah, let's make it a bit happy.
I'll see. There are a lot of reasons to be happy in K-pop. We just haven't talked about them at all.
Well, because recently there hasn't been anything to make us happy in K-pop.
We'll see.
I think.
I hope
we find something that
I guess we can
make us happy
this episode
soon.
Before this goes into a dark, depressing place. This has been episode 3.
Yep.
Of the Always Rational K-pop podcast. I am Dame Dr. Foxy Brown, and I hope you enjoyed this.
And I'm Noelle. Thank you very much for staying with us. And you have a good day, night, week, weekend,
night.
Wherever you are. Bye. Sometimes not little mom, deadly don't shit in man. No more than I got but in nigga me watch your bubble catch in man. Take it to the motor a bed on my man up so nine young so a dana man has you do child such in man. I'm then gonna need on that head to me on day. Time you're to on the chicken and they will slip too late. He's an emotion gay, who me got up so me done body can I got to make a decanter. Oh my lady.